Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Family Life. Your hosts, Salima Muhammad and Dr. Nadia Muhammad, of whom will join us next week, October 24th. So we're so excited to have her back next week. This program is sponsored by New Africa Excellence, Rabat Speaks. Your hosts, again, Salima Muhammad and Dr. Nadia Muhammad. This may Allah have commanded a theme in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. I greet the listening audience again with the peace of As-Salaamu Alaikum. This week's discussion, removing racial images from religion. We were scheduled to have Sister Fitra Muhammad. However, she could not be with us today and sent a dynamic representative of the community, our guest, Imam Muhammad Abdul Malik. Imam Muhammad Abdul Malik was born in 1956 as Larry Darnell Moody in Washington, D.C. He joined the Nation of Islam in 1973 at the age of 16 under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He changed his name from Larry 10X, dropping his slave name, becoming Muhammad Abdul Malik in 1976. Since then, he has been committed to his faith, your service and family. Happily married for 33 years, 9 children, 22 grandchildren, and 8 great-grandchildren. Currently, he is the Islamic chaplain at St. Elizabeth Behavioral Health Hospital, where he began as a volunteer. Now he is a contractor, owner of Islamic Services. He is the Dawah coordinator obligated to removing all racial imagery out of religion, and also an assistant imam to the resident imam, Talib Sharif, of the Masjid Muhammad in Washington, D.C. He is the co-executive of Peppermint Painting, and the father of the CEO of WeBuyBlack.com, and a firm believer of Allah and His Messenger, peace be upon him. Brother Imam, you're going to start.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum as-salam. At the point of racial stratification worldwide, an insignia used to promote racial images in religion. So there's several organizations, you know, maybe our government, you know, organizations, private, in the community, that insist on having racial images in religion. As a people, how do we begin in removing such images?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I want to greet the audience. Assalamu alaikum. Peace and blessings of God be upon you. And I want to say thank you all for allowing me to come on the station here to be a part of this great work. This is a great work that we're doing, is removing racial images that's in religion. And this is one of the ways that can remove the images, is by talking about it. Worldwide, nationally, internationally, we have to talk about this. A lot of people don't want to talk about this. They don't want to talk about the root of racism. You know, we speak of racism, Black Lives Matter, this government is this person, and not a time that we hear it all the time, President Trump, he's a racist, the Republicans are racist, they call some of the Democrats racist. You know, we got a lot of racism going on, the bottom line, and it's worldwide, and the thing is how do we deal with it? Yes, to answer your question is, the racism is in my opinion, is rooted in religion. It's rooted in religion.
But in Islam, you know, and when we read Quran, specifically, should I say Al-Nisa, Ayat 85,
mm-hmm.
you know, and as you have referred in previous conversations, false worship is the worst oppression.
Mm.
Can we talk about false worship and how it leads to oppression?
Yes, yes, yes. That's it right there. You know, when you worship something that makes no sense, no sense, and you can't explain why you worship it, you just believe in worshiping false gods. That is the worst form of oppression. That itself what oppresses you. False knowledge, false understanding, not being able to make sense. How God gonna be a man? How God gonna be a man? And so as a child, you know, this oppresses you. You're trying to figure this out. You know, and then he's white. They give them to you as a white man. Now, years ago, that's the way they gave it to them. Now, they don't switch it up now, trying to make them black and put them in different colors and different ethnic groups. I mean,
yes,
whatnot. But so when you have a false knowledge like that and not able to understand it, I mean, from a child all up to adult, from kindergarten all the way up to college and university, you still believe in something that you can't make sense out of it, that oppresses you.
Yes, sir. Talk about some of the things you're doing in your community. You're
yeah.
doing some dynamic things. You mm-hmm. have visual communication. If you could talk about some of the visual communication and mm-hmm. how you have set up in your specific community, which I think is just miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's so organized.
Mm-hmm.
Infrastructure is so clear. Can you talk about some of the postings that you're putting up
mm-hmm.
and some of the physical imagery things that you're putting up to change this?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Well, here in Washington, D.C., we have an imam here, Imam Talib Sharif, who is very supportive, very supportive. You know, without his support, we wouldn't be able to do as much as we're doing right now. And I encourage imams all over the country to support those brothers and sisters who are going out doing dawah, who are taking the message out into the streets, that the imam supports them because they need your leadership, your guidance, and your help, the imams we're speaking about. But, again, we here in Washington, D.C., we was blessed to meet a beautiful brother of ours, Brother Samir Muhammad out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and he has he's doing some beautiful things there in Philly to combat or fight the oppression in religion and racism in religion, and he gave me a call and although I was already doing that here. And he found out what I was doing here, and he connected with me. And so me and him working together to fight racism and religion. So, and Samir Muhammad, he put together some flyers and some posters and billboards that we're using to where people could see visual stuff, where they could see that we have a picture, one of our flyers and posters, we have a picture of what they call the so-called Christ Jesus or Esau. We call Esau. They have a picture of that that they use and we have them in black, and we have them in white. And in the front of that picture, it says message of concern. And then at the bottom, it says false worship is the worst form of oppression. And, of course, we got this from our leader, Imam Wahid Muhammad. So the praises is due to Allah, the credit is due to Allah, but also we have to give credit to our leader, Imam Wahid Muhammad, who started this back in the late 70s, I believe. The late 70s, about removing all racial images that portrays the divine. And he had a program called Craig. I'm quite sure many of your listening audience remember that, Craig. And I remember I was young then. I was just 20, just got married, 21, 22 years old. I just got married and to a beautiful sister named Wahida. And I just married her at the age of 21, and it was around 22. And I didn't have the money when they went to Detroit, I believe. The man went to Detroit, was Detroit or Chicago, one of the places they went, and I couldn't afford to go. But down the street at our masjid, right on the corner there, they had a big old mirror there, all painted on the wall of the Last Supper, the Last Supper. Quite sure you remember that, the Last Supper, they had Christ Jesus at the table and all his companions there at the table, and nobody black, everybody white, and they all sat at the table eating, and I said, look, I couldn't afford to go, but it was a nice warm summer day, summer night, matter of fact, about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, this wall down, the church had this big old wall down there. And had this mural painted on there, the Last Supper. And then, but beneath that, right there on the ground, was nothing but hard dirt, broken liquor bottles, wine bottles, and of course, if you can picture that, African Americans sitting out there all night long drinking and fighting and arguing and smoking, and that was just a corner where they just hung out at. They paid no attention to that picture. It was the worst sight you could see. You know, there was trouble down on the corner, right at the corner of our masjid. So I said, you know, they're going all the way to Detroit talking about removing racial images. I said, we got one right here.
And that's just
what I did is got me some paint. Got me some paint and went down there and red paint and crossed picture out. I was like Abraham when he went into the Kaaba and broke up the idols. I didn't know that's what I was doing. You know, all I knew, this was racial images portraying divine, and we're supposed to get rid of them. And that's what I did. The next day, the church came looking for me.
I was going to ask you, right after that, on the edge of my seat saying, okay, now what happened then? Well, praise
God. Yeah, I was at home in the bed asleep. I get a call telling me that, hey, people at the church looking for you. They're down at the masjid, the minister, everybody looking for you. They want to know who painted over their God. Who did this? Sister, look, that was back in the late middle 70s. I didn't know I was doing what Abraham was doing, you know?
Yes,
I didn't know that. And so, I mean, of course it scared me a little bit. I thought I did something wrong, but then the brothers who came back from that Craig thing, they heard of what happened and found out that the members at the church and the priests and the minister, everybody looking for me. So they said, well, brother, we're going down there. We're going to straighten it up. So when they went down there and painted the whole wall white. So they washed the whole thing out. We washed the whole thing. No more Last Supper on that wall.
Ooh.
That wall was pretty clean white. And don't you know, after that, we had the minister there. His name was Minister Ali. He's still calling the minister. It wasn't your man, Minister Ali. So he, I remember him mentioned to them, the brother Muhammad, you know, he's a young brother, and, you know, he didn't understand, or he didn't this and that, whatever they said to correct that and talk to the preacher down there and everything. They got it straight. If you go down there today, sister, and I realize, now they don't took that vacant lot right there and expand their church. Before then, they cleaned it up and they kept it clean. No more drinking, no more alcoholism, whatever, drugs and stuff like that. We cleaned that area up. It was cleaned up. So nothing good came out of that. That's what came out good. They stopped hanging on that corner. They cleaned it up, and they expanded the building. You go down there right now, it looks nice.
Isn't that beautiful?
It looks nice. Praise be to Allah. And we are still doing that today, removing racial images. I didn't know what God had me doing. And I'm realizing it now as I'm speaking to you. That's what God wanted me to do. This is my call. God has placed this responsibility on me to help here in Washington, D.C., to help remove racial images that portrays divine and that is hurting our young people today. And destroying our young people today, and got them worshiping false gods. That is one of the number one problems is worshiping false gods, and that's why we can't get ourselves together. Because calling on God, and God is answering us, even though we call on false gods, but He's answering us. But we can't get clear in our minds. We can't get clear in our minds today to see God as He should be seen, so we can truly be directed and guided in our life. I hope that answers your question. I hope I didn't talk to
you. No. Hey, this is what you're here for. And you're speaking about collective initiative.
Yes, collective initiative. Can't do it by ourselves.
Collective initiative, and then, you know, cleaning up. So how are you going to even have a so-called image of God and you are a leader in a community and you have filth around?
That's what I saw. Yes.
So when you see filth around, and we speak about, I want to talk about how important this is. Because if you study any of your scriptures, may it be Quran, the Bible, the Torah, the origin of all prophets. Or on the continent, or close by or nearby, but mostly on the continent of Africa. So how could these images represent truth?
That's a good question.
They cannot.
Yeah, they can't. Never have and never will.
What is the response, community, of this ongoing project today? If you can elaborate on that for a few minutes.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the Bible I speak of, and I have read the Bible. That's why I could speak on it. I read some of the Torah, and everything is pretty much close in the Torah and in the Bible. The scriptures are close. But we do know that Islam, the Quran, came to clear things up, to make things clear. And that's what God wants. He wants to see the clearness of things. And that's why He sent us Muhammad, the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. And Muhammad came to challenge the people who said that God was a man, that God was human, you know. So Allah had Muhammad to challenge them. And that's what we have to do today. If we say we are followers of Muhammad, the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. If we follow Muhammad, then we have to challenge them. Likewise, we can't be scared. Muhammad was never scared. You know, and we study the history of Muhammad. Muhammad gave his life. You know, things happened to him. And things happened to his followers. You know, Bilal, torture. A lot of his followers got killed for standing up for what was right, standing up for justice, standing up and telling the people that there is only one God, and these false gods you're worshiping is not God. And so we're doing the same thing today. You know, but the thing is this right here. You know, we don't have in our religion pictures of Muhammad. You'll never see us with pictures of Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him. Because that's not what God wants. He don't want us to see well, he knows that human beings have the tendency of worshiping other human beings. God wants us to worship him. So this is why we don't have prophets. We don't have pictures, because God wants us to see God as he should be seen. People start worshiping man. That's how they. That's what they did. They have put Christ Jesus, Esau, into and started worshiping him and started calling him God. And that's what Muhammad the prophet forbid. He pointed to God, the one God. He didn't point to himself. He pointed to God. But the problem is that you have these people who agree, the devil, Satan, and his temps, his followers. They want to manipulate people. They want to control people. They want to use people. They want to make slaves out of people, because they understand that God created human beings to be slaves, but only to him. It's in our nature to be a slave. It's in our nature to serve something. When we serve, it's supposed to be serving God and nothing else but God. But the Bible, dear sister, and brothers and sisters who are listening to us today on the radio station, we thank God for having you to listen today, and we hope that you get something from this, you know, and it will help you in your life. But we're doing, as Muslims, as believers, and those who are doing dawah, we're doing what God asked us to do. And God didn't only ask us as Muslims, he asked all believers to do this, even the Christians. God has told them, and I tell you, I'll give you the proof. God told them in, Leviticus. God told them, he said, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of any. That is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth, or under the earth. So what he's saying is that we should carve out any images in the heavens, in the earth, or under the earth. we don't want to carve out any images. This is God. This is in the scripture. This is in the Bible. That thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am your Lord. This is in the Bible. Muslims, we have to believe in the Bible, too. We don't only believe in the Quran. We believe in the Bible. So when we read something like this, we take it what God said. God said not to do that. Who is following God? It's in Exodus 20, verse 3. And then you got it also in Matthew. Chapter 4, verse 10, Luke, verse 8. Throughout the Bible, it is telling them, ye shall make you no idol, no graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. For I am the Lord, your God. Now tell me, sister, that's made you good, ain't it?
That's clear. That's plain.
That's coming from the Bible.
How does your community respond to what you're doing today? The outside community.
Oh, they love it. They love it. When we go out to the street and we tell them, this is my pitch. I said, I need you to help me stop racism. You see, God made it easy for us to do this. We living in a time now that everybody knows racism is a problem. But they don't know where to go at, how to deal with it.
Yes.
They know it's a problem, though.
Yes.
So we know, in God, we have to deal with it on a spiritual level. We know that it's in religion. If we can get it out of religion, then we probably save the world. Or those who God let us save it. Because that's where it's at. That's why people are so strong. Trump is so strong in his race, because he believes the Bible supports him.
Mm.
He believed that religion supports him. He believed that that picture of Jesus Christ is God and the Son of God. He really believes that. So he's not stopped. We're trying to help him too. But we're not just helping black folks when we say racism. We help white folks too and any other kind of folks who believe that God is a man and that God has a color and that we're going to pick out some nationality, some national group, some ethnic group, and make them God over everybody else. So we got to straighten this mess up. God has given us the job to straighten it up, to get it right before it's too late, before we go back to God. When God calls us back, God's going to say, okay, I knew what was going on in the world. You think I didn't know? I let it happen like that. I let it be like that. Give you some work. Give you something to do. And I promise you, if you do the work, and don't fear nobody, me, and don't worry about the criticizer when they criticize, I got something for you. Better than the present. It's better than the life you're living now. This is what God promised us. And we want that life. We want that life more than anything else, the life that God promised us. So we're going to do God's work. And the people in the community, when we take it to them, my pitch is this right here. Brother, sister, help me. Help me stop racism. Mm-hmm. Help me clear racism in religion. They said, yeah, that's right. That's what it is. That's right. I said, I need your help. Here, take this pamphlet. And it's going to tell you how to help me. And they grab it. They grab the pamphlet because they want to do something about it, but they don't know what to do about it. So when you're out there in the street and you give them the pamphlet, say, I need you to help me stop racism. And they say, oh, give it here. I don't care, young and old, even children. Children take the pamphlet. But no, how can I stop? How can I help it? You see?
You're talking about grassroots initiative. I want to go back a little. But before I do that, to our listening audience, this show, again, is being brought to you by New Africa Excellent Rod Speaks. Let's go back a little bit to your youth, because that was a very interesting time.
Mm.
So at 21, 22, painting over this false image, talk a little bit about your family life and the trajectory moving forward, raising your children. And when you go through that process, I want to stop at your son, Levi Black, because obviously that was a process that came along to target one of the largest consumer audiences in the world, and that's African Americans and black folks buying. But to be able to target that, I want to talk about that a little bit, how you raised it. So let's go back to 21, 22.
Mm-hmm.
And you had this passion to keep removing images from religion. And that was a time back then, one could say it was a little more challenging, but I don't know, because today it's just crazy. Lord have mercy. I don't know about that one. But talk about that a little bit, and the family and how you instilled in your children, where your children were educated, and what you did to bring, you know, to bring them through this. And then how did we get to the We Buy Black part? I want you to spend some time on that and talk about that a little bit.
Yes, ma'am. And I just want to remind everybody that this is a family program as well. And we're talking about the family, so I'm glad you did bring that, the family piece. And, back then, sister, just to take on the name Muhammad Abdul Malik was like killing idols, chopping the heads off idols, because a name like that back at that time was not heard of. You heard of Muhammad Ali, you know.
Of course.
But,
yes,
but somebody like me, taking that name, Muhammad, you know, young as I was, you know, I mean, trying to find a job, and you know, looking for a job, and you got the name Muhammad Abdul Malik, you don't have a white man's name, you know what I mean? You got you got somebody else's name, but I had my name, the name that God gave me, you know. So I knew I had to struggle with that, and I struggled with it because I knew if nobody wanted to hire me, I'm going to be me. I'm going to be myself. Always been like that, you know. Always wanted to be a man. Always wanted to be God's man. Always seek God in my life, and that's how I was able to find the Nation of Islam, you know, and under the leadership of Imam Khomeini, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and then coming out of that to his son, Imam Warsi Muhammad. And when I raised my children back then, my first wife's name was Wahida, and she had two children, Carla and Nikki, and then I gave her two with Mahasa and Akila, and I had four daughters then. And I would never let them watch TV or listen to things on the radio. I was raising them and protecting their minds. And I think we have to do the same thing more so today. And them children will tell you, they tell me right now, Daddy, thank you. They thought I was doing, people would say, man, you raising your children wrong, that's not good, they're going to grow up to hate you. No, them children grew up to love me. They grew up to love me because I protected their soul. I protected their minds. I didn't want the world to take them. And I didn't have no education. I didn't have no education. I dropped out of school in the eighth grade. But I had Islam. That's what I had. I had Islam. And I had God. And I knew that's all I needed was God. Because God started showing me that's all I needed. And that's why I struggle more so towards God. Because God was showing me every time I try to get closer to him, he brings me closer and let me know, Muhammad, this all you need is me. And I knew that's all I needed for my children. And then me and my wife, Wahida, we got divorced in 83. And I struggled then after that. And then I got married again to my wife, who just passed away last year, December 25th. And she gave me some children. And those children, I raised them the same way. And even with the ones of Wahida, they went to Clara Muhammad School. And then my wife here, Doreen, we raised our children, they went to Clara Muhammad School. And people were saying, I remember one brother told me, he said, because I couldn't understand why people were not sending their children to the Muslim school. I couldn't understand that. You know, when we came to the Nation, everybody's children went to the Nation school. Every children went to University of Islam. So that's all I knew. So I put my children in Clara Muhammad School, and all of them graduated out of Clara Muhammad School. Then I sent them to W.D. Muhammad High School, and they graduated from W.D. Muhammad High School. Then from there, my son Sharif and his wife Zara, her father's name is Emir Bashir, and her mother Vicky. They're from Columbus, Ohio. And my son met Zara there at W.D. Muhammad High School. But he met them when they were still in Clara Muhammad School. And then they graduated to W.D. Muhammad High School. And people would call me and say, your son and Zara liking each other. So we found a way that they can meet the people there because I live in D.C. So my children went to school in Atlanta, Georgia. That's the sacrifice I made. I trust the believers in Atlanta. See, I trust the religion. I didn't know the believers there, but I trusted them. Wow. I knew the religion. If you say you're a Muslim, all I can go on. I know what a Muslim supposed to be. I know what a believer supposed to be, and I trusted that. I didn't know whether I was going to see my children ever again. But I had faith in God. And that's what we had to have. Put our faith in God, brothers and sisters. And that's what I did. And everybody who knows me, know my family, knows that I have raised some beautiful children. And God did that. And my son right now, him and His wife, Zara, was the first couple in W.D. Mumford High School. My son and Zara got married because they wanted to do likewise, like her parents told her and Sharif's parents told him. Please, God, do what is right. And that's what they wanted to do. You know how young folks is. They're feeling themselves. They're smelling themselves. Yes. But they wanted to do it the right way. So her family came to D.C. to meet with my family, to meet with us, and stay with us for a weekend. And we all talked about them getting married and so on and so on. So I remember that word that Muhammad said this. He said, well, when the children, when they come together, and they, he said, marry your children while they're young. That's what he said. He said, if they get ready to have sex or something like that, and they get ready to have sex, then it's time to marry them. So I remember him saying that. So I told them, I said, y'all get that desire to have sex and stuff like that, and you just let me know. It's time for y'all to get married. Look, I swear to God. Look, the day wasn't even over with. They come telling me, get married. I'm like, what? They're going to come and tell me this. So I said, oh, Lord. They said, yeah, Dad, we ready. And I said, oh, man, okay. So then I had to get it right. I had to get it together for them. So we wind up getting them married. We talked to the school. We had to work with the school because the school didn't even want them to get married. And I'm saying, hey, this is a Muslim school. You want children. Here's a lot of these teenagers having the babies and not even married. But these two want to serve God. They want to please God. They want to do what's right. And this is a Muslim school. And even that word, Muhammad said, we can marry them while they're younger. What's the matter with y'all? There's a whole lot of things. And we had an imam there. I thank God for him. Imam, how can I forget his name? My son stayed with him. Give it an S.
That's okay. Take your time.
Oh, man, I can't think of his name. I guess he'll come back to me. Not Suleiman. He's an imam then. This brother was a sister imam. Young brother, sister imam imam Cleveland. And he probably listened to me now. Please forgive me, brother. Please forgive me. But anyway, he called me up and he said, Muhammad, because I told him, I said, they need to read pamphlet imam one. You know what Muhammad got out called Save Yourself and Save Your Family. He said, get me that pamphlet. I got it, sent it to him. And he took that to them. And they came up, they said they had to change their,
The rule or criteria.
Change their rules, whatever they had to say. Now, the imam name was Mansour. Mansour. Beautiful brother. I love that brother. He stood up for my children. He took them in. I thank God for him. He's like us. He's a soldier. He is a soldier for God. And he believed in God. See, you can tell a believer in God because a believer in God looks out for another believer, you know? And that's what he did. He took my children with Zara and Sharif got married. He let them rent his basement out.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then he pretty soon became the imam there. So, but anyway, my son and his wife moved back to Atlanta after they finished college. They went to college and whatnot and Zara had a baby while she was in college, but the college let her take a break for 2 years so she could give the baby. After she dealt with the baby for 2 years, she went back to college and finished school. So they all graduated, and then they went back to Atlanta, and they're in Atlanta right now. They have three children right now, and Sharif started working in the school that they graduated from, and now their children go to Claire Muhammad School.
Isn't this beautiful?
The world needs to know this. They got to know what Islam is, how beautiful Islam is and what Islam can do for you when you give your life to Islam.
So your grandchildren attend the same school as their parents?
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
ma'am. Oh, my goodness.
Ain't that something?
And
Allah is blessing him so much with WeBuyBlack.com. And I told Sharif, people kept saying, well, he needs to change that name, Read My Black. They were saying, I said, no, he don't need to change nothing. Because I understood what Sharif don't know nothing else but Islam. He was raised Muslim, which was nothing but Muslim schools, under the leadership of Imam Wazir Muhammad. I remember Sharif when he was a little boy, and he heard me say something. And he was hearing Imam Wazir Muhammad, and he heard me say something. And he told everybody. He started laughing like I had a secret. I didn't have a secret. I wanted him to know where I was getting my knowledge from. But he acted like I had a secret. Oh, I know where Daddy got that from. He got that from W.G. Muhammad. And he was like so happy and laughing like, I got it. I know where Daddy getting his knowledge from now, you know. And so that was a good thing that he knew that, you know. And as a young boy, he was no more about 8 years old, 7 or 8 years old, and then when Muhammad came to D.C., and he spoke at this college in Chevy, Maryland. And I remember us leaving out of there. And you never know what your kids are doing, what they're listening to. You got to have them in the right environment. So Sharif, when we left out of there, I remember him, he was short. And now he's tall. He's tall, man. You would never think that he's so short like he did. But he was 7 or 8 years old, but he was short. All the other kids, his age was tall. But I remember him pulling me back because I had to, you know, he was so young then and so short then you had to hold his hand to call, you know, walk through the parking lot. Because my other son, Jamal, he didn't have to hold his hand. And Jamal was tall, you know. And so, Jamal only was a year or two older than Sharif, about a year older than Sharif. And, but anyway, Sharif pulled my coattail and he said, Daddy, looked up at me and I looked down at him. He said, Daddy, Imam Wazir Muhammad is our leader. He said, Daddy, Imam Wazir Muhammad is our leader, right? And Prophet Muhammad is our prophet, right? And I said, yes, son, you're right. He said, I thought so. At that young age, he understood that Imam Wazir Muhammad was our leader and Prophet Muhammad was our prophet. He understood that. And it made me feel so good. I started running around the parking lot telling everybody what my son just said to me. You know? And they're like, yeah, man, that's good, man. A lot of adults don't even know that. People were getting Imam Wazir Muhammad confused and Prophet Muhammad confused. You know, who's the leader? Imam Wazir Muhammad the leader or Prophet Muhammad the leader? You know? But Sharif had it already clear. He knew that Imam Wazir Muhammad was our leader and Prophet Muhammad was our prophet. He understood that. Now Allah has blessed him to have the largest online marketplace in the world, African-American, black-owned business in the world on the internet. He owns that. WeBuyBlack.com.
Wow.
Yes. And all his other sisters love him in Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is so beautiful. We Buy
yes.
Black. You said something.
WeBuyBlack.com. Yes, ma'am.
But listen, you said something important. People said to him, get rid of the title. What, first of all, why would they say that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll tell you why they said it. Because they were scared. They're scared to use the word black. Scared of that word. Use the word black. You know? I mean, that white man got a lot of power. He got a lot of power. See, subconsciously, we fear him. As Muslims today, we say we believe in Allah. We say Allah is our God. But deep down in our conscience, we fear the white man. I'm telling you, a lot of us Muslims who say we believe in God, we still have fear in our heart for that white man, and the only fear we supposed to have is the fear for God. And that's why we out here today. That's why we're out here pushing this message, to help you remove that fear out of your heart for any man. I don't care what color he is. The only fear you're supposed to have is the fear of God. And that's what the imams have to teach. They have to teach this. But no, you have to be aware that God is the only one that you should fear and nobody else. And that your work is supposed to be working for God right now because you never know when God is going to call you and you're not going to be able to come back and do his work.
Yes, sir.
So Sharif, I told Sharif, I said, Sharif, the work you're doing, son, is to work for God. You're working for God. You don't know nothing else. Continue on doing what you're doing and God will guide you. God will guide you. If God wants you to change that name, God will, he will guide you into changing it. And my son, you know, he's working on changing the name, and I believe, but he's going to keep We Buy Black. But he's moving We Buy Black, as he says to his daddy, We Buy Black is just a means. is not the end.
Mm-hmm.
Levi Blackness is going to take us to New Africa. That boy's on it. He's on it.
And you know, I want to take a moment to speak about the sponsor of our show,
the
New Africa Excellent.
Mirad
speaks. You know, Mirad Muhammad is world renowned. He is known for being a renowned boxing promoter. He worked with Muhammad Ali for decades, and over 300 fighters in his works. And when he studied with Walter Dean Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, and he read Quran, one of the first things that the Imam to him, and get rid of the fantasies about the future. And I understand that to be the subject matter we're on. Get rid of the false images. Get rid of the false perception. So your son, I want to bring up this point because he said New Africa. You and I have never met. I've never met your family. I've never met your son. And your son is already talking about New Africa. And that's the sponsor of this show, New Africa Excellent.
And there's something.
Yes, and I think that's so important to bring up because there are members in the community that's on the same path, and this is what this particular format is designed for, not only to speak and communicate, communication speaks about the imperativeness, the intricacies of communication, because when we communicate, then we can bring communities together. To continue the works of Almighty God Allah, because this is what we're here for. You know, Brother Man, you make such a good point. Because when it's our time to leave this earth and the angels have scribed what we have done, it will be that point from which we'll be judged to what we have accomplished in this life. And Allah is ever merciful and most gracious. So while we have time, we still want to be able to get rid of those fears. I think you brought up a good point when I asked you, why would people still say, you know, Levi Black, what is the problem with Levi Black or New Africa? Why is that a problem? Because we still fear the force in our experience that put us under the bondage of slavery. Can you give us, in the listening audience, insight? And you said it much, of getting rid of that fear. You and I know, but there may be someone in the listening audience struggling with that fear. How would you say, get rid of that fear so we can move forward in our works of Almighty God Allah?
You know, I like to answer that like this here. First, I want to say this way. You said you made a good point that, you know, that we have that fear. These young kids, the young Muslims today, they don't have that fear. They don't fear. Oh, I was talking to my son one time. We were down in Atlanta, and he was taking me all to these places and showing me things in Atlanta and stuff. I'm like, son, come on, man. We got to get out of here. There ain't no more white folks. All the young folks that were with him looked at me like, what the hell wrong with Sharif? You know? And them kids, I looked at all of them. I thought they were going to agree with me. I thought my son was the only one like that, you know, with no fear. You know, and I looked at the rest of the kids. They ain't had no fear. I'm like, good God Almighty. The kids, they ain't had no fear in them. You know?
Yes, sir.
You know? So I just leave. I said, Lord, praise be to you, Allah. Allah know what he's doing. You got to trust Allah. That's what you got to do. You have to put your faith in Allah. Know that Allah is in control of everything. Nothing happens except by his will. Nothing happens except by his will. And Allah is, one of the main things Allah is calling us to in the Quran is faith. Faith in him alone. All these ilahs that we have in our life. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. That's why we fast during the month of Ramadan, to get rid of it. We think we just fast just for fast food and look good and all that. No, Allah's calling us to clear faith in him, to put our faith in him, to put our trust in him, to obey him, to fear no one but him. Trust in Allah, and Allah will remove that fear. As a matter of fact, ask Allah, oh Allah, please, please remove the fear, any fear I have in me that I don't supposed to have in me, please remove it. The only fear I want is the fear that you give me and the fear for you. And the fear, that fear is to displease you. That's the only fear I want, is displeasing you. And when you have that fear, that is the greatest fear in the world. That is the greatest fear in the world, when you fear no one but God. Yes. And you know, one other thing I want to add to this system is that false gods in the world, we have a lot of false gods. And I believe if we can remove these false gods, they will help us have the fear that God wants us to have. And that fear, all those false gods is fighting. You know, Allah tells us in the Quran, if there was more than one God, they would be fighting and competing with each other. You know? And that's what we see today. These false gods fighting with Amazon, fighting with Google, Facebook, Instagram, all of them going with these, because all of them are gods. They sure they're gods. So they fighting with each other. Well, we know there's only one God. You know, entertainment. Entertainment fighting to get their point in. You know, fame, money, all these things, selfishness, the gratification, all these are false gods. Beautiful women, all of that. Handsome men. False gods, all of this is only an illusion. It's not real.
That's right.
The only reality is God and doing God's work, only reality. And when we come to that point and to that understanding, we won't have no fear for nothing. We won't have no fear, but the only fear we have is God, because we know that God is the only reality, and it is him who we are put on this earth to serve, and nobody and nothing else.
And I think what you just did gave us a phenomenal background to continue the works of removing racial imagery out of religion. Because once you stop focusing, once one stops focusing on the imageries of false God, and then we come back into the fold as a functioning member of society, doing the good of Allah. It brings us back to our purpose.
Right.
How would you tell one, before our show closes, to get involved with removing images,
yes,
racial images out of religion? How does one get involved, Brother Iman?
Yes, ma'am.
That
Allah tells us, he gives us the answers. He said in the Quran, there's a portion of the Quran where Allah says, fight the schemes of Satan. Fighters can, we can't fight, say, we can't say, well, that's the devil right here, so I'm going to fight him. Trump is the devil, so I'm going to fight Trump. And we think that's the devil. Once we get rid of Trump out of office, then we're all free now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
God
sir.
Almighty. Yes, yeah, that devil is.
Yes, yeah. Sir.
See, Trump is not the devil. If he didn't know no better, he would swear he is the devil. But he only a servant of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fight the devil because you never know. You try to fight Trump, then there's another devil somewhere else. And there's another one. They pop up everywhere and anywhere. The dude hurt kings. Fight the schemes of the devil. And that's how you fight the devil. That's how you join in to do this work for God, is doing what God asks us to do, is fight the schemes of Satan. Some of us, we say, well, you know, sister, they got this thing, and I shared this yesterday in my talk to my Juma Kupa, it's on Netflix. It's called It's called Social Dilemma. Social Dilemma. And I asked your radio audience to listen to that, Social Dilemma. I mean, watch it on Netflix. And they're showing how they tell you through the media, through the social media, Google, Facebook, all these people don't work for Google anymore. They don't work for Instagram no more. But they tell you how they intentionally manipulated people's minds, especially the young children.
Wow.
And they're going to show you how they got them. One of the guys said he knew how to do that when he was 3 years old. He knew how to do magic. And he would fool adults, people with PhDs. He knew how to manipulate their minds. And he showed how magicians know how to do this illusion thing, make you think people floating on air and all this stuff. So they know how to go into your mind and make you and change your behavior, change your thinking. And we think that, all I got to do is have a strong mind. See, that's what Satan wants you to think. And they know that's what you're going to think. And they tell you how they know, they watch, they know, like I got some stuff was shooting on through my phone today telling me what it was saying. So-and-so saying hi to you or do this. I ain't even respond to it because I know so-and-so ain't do nothing. That's them playing games, trying to get me to do things, trying to get me to open my phone, trying to get me to do this and do that. And this is what they do. They change your mood. They know what kind of mood you're in. They know whether you're sad, whether you're happy. They know what you're watching, how long you watch it. And all this data that they get, they make a model of you. And they bet on you, how they're going to get you. They be betting. And they say, so-and-so waved at you. So-and-so ain't waved at you. Or somebody now just joined and say hi to them. So all of this is to get your attention. They're fighting for your attention. Fighting for your mind, fighting for your soul. And the only escape, the only way we can get away from these false gods trying to get our souls and take our souls from them, take our children's souls, is to turn our children towards God, to get to know God and worship God and get on God's side. That's the only way you can get out of this false worship and falling and obeying false God. Because God, I said in the beginning, God has created every human being to be a slave, to be a servant. And if you don't consciously serve God, you're going to unconsciously serve all these other false gods. You're going to become their slave, their servant. All they're going to do is make money out of you and use you and abuse you, turn you up, and then when you die and go back to God, they're going to say, no, I ain't do nothing. You know? All we did is call them. They came. You know God. You the God. You know. You had your servants out there, Muhammad out there, and all of them other sisters, Salim, all of them out there trying to tell them to come and worship God, to give themselves to God, that these false gods are end up a false God. They're not real. But you didn't listen. So you made your bed, and hell is your bed. But we're not trying to scare you. This is a fact. This is real news. This is not fake news. This is real news. And see, that's what they give you, fake news. And they talk about how many kids don't sue them, don't kill themselves and all this and that. How they make the people don't know the difference from real news and false news. They have done this.
Yes, sir.
So, yes, I tell the audience, especially the young kids, the young children, look, I'm telling you, you're not too young to know God. You're not too young. Don't think this is just adults thing. No, this is your thing. because they're after you. They have to get your precious mind, because your mind still have not yet been developed. Your mind is still like clay. It ain't hard yet. So give your mind to God. I gave my mind to God when I was 16 years old, but I started before I was 16. My little grandchildren right now, great-grandchildren, are giving themselves to God. And you born giving yourself to God. Just don't let nobody take you off that path. You got to stay on that path that your parents are trying to keep you on. It's to worship God, to get to know God. Well, don't be a screaming. Stay balanced. Keep both of your foot on the ground. Put your head on the floor. Stay connected and get to know God.
All praises are due to Allah. It has been truly a blessing, Brother Imam Muhammad Abdul Malik, to have your audience today.
Thank you.
We thank you. Now, if there's anyone who would like to get in touch with you, is there an email they can contact you by?
Yes, ma'am.
If you could give that, yes, ma'am. If you could give that to the listening audience, I would so appreciate it.
Okay. My email, I have my office. I do have a Islamic service email address, but I don't know that right off because I don't use it that much. But I need to start using it now because we have a business called Islamic Service that we just started. And but I give you my personal email address. You can email me. I work for God, so you could email me anytime. I'd love to hear from you. And my email is mmalik803@aol.com. Again, it's M. Malik, and I am a member at Masjid Muhammad, the Nation's Mosque in Washington, D.C., and you can also send a letter there, Masjid Muhammad, the Nation's Mosque. Again, I'm Imam Muhammad Abdul Malik, and I'm one of the assistants of Imam Talib Sharif. He is the imam there, the resident imam there. He is doing a wonderful job. We have a beautiful imam here at our masjid, sister. I just have to put this out here. I love him. He allows me to do the work that I'm doing. He allows me to be free, and I appreciate that in him letting me be me, you know. And I want the world to know that we need imams, more imams like him, letting the believers do what they have to do to serve God. We don't serve the imams. We don't worship the imams. Our service is not for the imam. Our service is for God. And we have imam like Thomas Sharif who understands that the believing worker is for God and only for God. And he don't get in the way of that. And I thank him for that.
Yes, sir. That is so beautiful. To the listening audience, again, this program is sponsored by New Africa Excellence. Murad Speaks. You can reach me at my email, Salima, S-A-L-I-M-A-H, MOH77@gmail.com. The email again, SALIMAH MOH77@gmail.com. And I would like to take a few minutes to tell the listening audience that our sponsor, Imam Murad Muhammad, will be on right after I close this show. Again, the sponsor, Imam Murad Muhammad, will come on directly after I close this show. Imam Muhammad Malik Abdul Malik. See, I'm going fast, right?
Thank
you again.
I know Brother Murad Muhammad. I want to send him the greetings. Yeah, he knows me through Sister Pitra, Murad. And last time I saw him, I think he was at one of the conventions last time. I got a picture of him in his yellow suit, the yellow suit he got on. Yeah,
yes,
I took a picture of him. Yeah, I took of him. Murad is a very beautiful brother. I'm glad and happy to be a part of this program, that knowing that he's sponsoring it and whatnot. And I just want to send a greeting to him to tell him to continue on doing what he's doing. And whatever I can do to help, please get in touch with me. I'm ready. Thank you.
Thank you.
And also I want to thank Sister Fitcher, too. Sister Fitcher.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. She's a beautiful sister. Sister Fitcher is also doing some great work here in D.C., getting the message out to the people, out in, to the public with her Alice Now study. So, yes, I want to thank her as well. Hard-working sister. I always tell Sister Fitcher she's one of the hard-working sisters in Islam. You know, she should go down one of the famous Muslim women in Islam here in America.
Yes, sir. Oh, I concur. And thank you for saying that, and we thank her for her contribution to the community. And I concur with you, the work that she's done for the past 50 years has just been impeccable, and we thank her. Again, thank you, and we hope to have you back, buddy, there.
Anytime. Thank you. I love it.
Have a wonderful day.
As-salamu
alaykum. As-salamu alaykum to the listening audience, and thank you for joining us today.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Jabir Abdul Miraj Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio. It gives me great privilege, and surely I'm highly honored to be able to do so. And I want to thank my assistant, Shalima Muhammad, and surely I thank her sister, Dr. Adira. Adira is a beautiful, lovely person who took her opportunity to put a lot of things aside to become a doctor. I have a daughter that's going into becoming a doctor. And I'm like Malik, Abdullah Malik Muhammad. I said to my daughter that no one says is there a social degree or bachelor degree or master degree in the house. But all over the world, they say, is there a doctor in the house? And I explained to her that all my life I've been pushing, especially the female, keep going, become that doctor. Because it gives you status quo of the world, only recognize one who has something that magnifies success in the world. And surely doctor does just that. More important than in the Holy Quran, it teaches us that those who learn education and give it back will sit amongst the prophets in the final day of judgment. So it didn't really mean the physical education of man, because man makes mistakes. The education Allah is talking about is your five senses. What's the difference? One is given to you by man, and the other one is given to you by God in the womb of your mother. We get away from that. But I want to say that I have this opportunity because we have 2 hours. We pay for 2 hours. We come to you 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, and we don't want to waste our money. But Salima knows that if she goes over, there's more minutes there for her. But she likes to do hours, and sometimes she do hours and 5 minutes. It's okay, because who pays the filler cost? The tool. We pay for this. We don't beg anyone. It's not our vehicle, but it's a vehicle we have access to. It's called what? Communication. But what gave me the motivation to take the few minutes we have left was the brother who she brought on, Abdul Malik Muhammad. And I was very impressed in the things that he has done. Keep in mind, brothers and sisters, he said he didn't get an education. He dropped out in the ninth grade. And he said he was 16 years old. We heard the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And today we won't even mention them. You got men that was on drugs. You got men that was, you had men that was hustlers. You had men that wouldn't even get married, run through women. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad turned us around. And those same men wearing robes, and those same men thinking that they are now leaders because they call themselves imams, won't even give him the credit. And Allah says in the Holy Quran, you give credit to those who deserve it. Because if not, you will get no more. And this is why they had a standstill, brothers and sisters. Because you forget your mother, you forget your father, you forget your grandfather. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a blessing to all of us. But he said, I did not come here to teach you religion. I came to clean you up. So you can't come to prayer unless you do wudu. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was wudu, brothers and sisters. You remember Walter C. Muhammad, who taught me personally for over 20 years. I never came to him. I don't even know where he lived at. But he came to me to teach me to do what I'm doing today, is to create communication. If you have a business, only one knows it is you and your local community. If you are in a corporation, only one knows about that corporation who you do business with. But the key factor is to make TV. Everybody that pays to get on TV is known around the world. You see, brothers and sisters, the commercials that you see, they pay big money if you bring ratings, care about you being a football player, basketball player, hockey player, tennis player. You can be a great boxer, a wrestler, but if you don't bring the ratings, they get rid of you. So I learned ratings is what they live by. You can be tall and handsome because your mother will tell you just that. They don't care. You can be yellow, brown, red. Today they call themselves white or black. They don't give a damn. You bring the ratings, they're going to support you. They're going to love you. But more important than that, I learned from the great Muhammad Ali. Yes, Salima, you're correct. 12 years of protecting his life at the age of 16. I was a great martial artist. Cosell used to say, Ali, how did you hit him with the right hand and the left hook? I thank Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. All praises to Ali. What about the jab? All praises are due to Allah. And because he was on the air, he sent us around the world. Yes. Yes, in these foreign countries, they didn't know there was Muslims in America. African American. Had no idea, but because of the greatest of all times, shocked the whole industry. Who did he talk about? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Who did he talk about? Praises is given to Allah. And back then, we didn't know the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was Simon Says, brothers and sisters, and I know all y'all praise Simon Says. And I guarantee you none of y'all can tell me what he looked like. I'm here to tell you I know what he looked like. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was Simon Says. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, do it, you did it, and if he didn't tell you to do it and you didn't do it, you was out. They said that was too much power for a black man. But we won't give credit. We'll give credit. Yes, we love Malcolm. Yes, we used to secure Malcolm. And they will praise Malcolm. They will talk about Malcolm. Never talk about the man that taught him. You remember Walter Muhammad? Always told you about his daddy. He called him a master with a third grade education. Miss Louis Farrakhan, why I love him today, will never let you think that he would not be who he is if it wasn't for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, brothers and sisters, I came on because if we had more Abdullah Malik Muhammad, if we came together as one, you got to understand, if you go check the war, the Muslims always outnumbered. The Crusader War, it was only 10,000 against those men that came out of Italy. They had armor, they had tanks, they had guns. These men, it was only 10 fearless, 10,000 fearless. And when they lined up, the Italians said, this is a cinch. They just knew they were going to kill all of us with what they was having. We had silks on with swords. How did we fight them? 1,000 ran to the mountain. Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! And died off that mountain. To send a message that we come to die. That's how we won the war. All these is a picture to get your attention. Who you should be when you say you don't fear anything. How do you fear God that you choose to fear, that you can touch it and you can feel it? So you fear it. But you don't fear the one who created all of us. You fear the God that you put besides Allah, and he's a jealous God. You see, brothers and sisters, if we would understand that what this brother said for 45 minutes, why his children are who they are today. You see, the Honorable Muhammad used to say that I'm going to clean you up and one after me will teach you your true religion. All we can do, what makes us different than our children, they got knowledge. We got wisdom. You can't learn wisdom. You have to experience wisdom. So you hear wisdom given to those children. And those babies love their father. They love their grandpa. They love their great-grandpa. And all he did was tell them what Allah said. Not what he says, what Allah says. And this was wrong with most of our imams today. Unconsciously, I'm going to give them a pass, unconsciously they speak in the tongue of Satan. Oh, you didn't think Satan was that intelligent? He knows all the languages. And Muhammad was right. Abdullah was right. I've been teaching it for 7 years on this radio. Went viral 3 times. And what I teach is Allah says his schemes are weak. You can't beat Satan. I told a man that beat me out a lot of money. He's a Caucasian. It will be in my book. It will be in my movie. I said, you ain't the devil. Oh, he looked like the one we thought was the devil, all white folks. I say, you ain't intelligent enough to be a devil. That's why I say to you, brothers and sisters, that when astray, decide to take your own road. I said distinctly, you're not a hypocrite. Hypocritical, but you're not a hypocrite. Why? You're not intelligent enough to be a hypocrite. But why should I call you a hypocrite? Why should I call an imp, Satan? But that jinn in all of us, that's our trial. Allah gave him permission. to come from the left, the right, from the front, from the back. But he said, you will not get my faithful followers. And so we are hung up that we don't understand what I loved about Malik. Because you can hear me say, you can hear me say, you can hear me saying, but Imam Wallaceen Muhammad said, if you don't hear the language, you ain't at home. That's what he said to me. Hear the language. And you know you're at home. And this is the language. We have to understand this COVID-19 is all a trick. Because Satan has a right to pull these tricks. Satan got a right to give you a Quran. And you think it's the Quran that Allah gave to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, he can duplicate it. He can look like you. He can walk like you. Yes, he makes 5 prayers a day. He's not fighting Allah. He is jealous because we have a gift, we human beings. Everything in this world came here dead. Allah brought it to life. The sun, the moon, the stars, the animals, the birds, the bees, the trees, the flowers, everything. Earth came here. It was dead. You and I don't let nobody say that we human beings came here dead. Yes, the earth was dead. But what did Allah have to do? The order to show Satan. Don't bow down to that mud and that dirt. Wait till I breathe into Adam's nostril, my spirit. And when I breathe my spirit, then you make sajjah. So we came from the spirit of God. We wasn't dead. Everything was dead, including the earth that you look at. That's your own real estate when you look in the mirror. That's your earth. You must protect your earth, you man and woman. But we all will be tried. That's your gene out of the future in the nature in which you was created. And because it's the nature in which you created, it submits to who? Nothing but Allah. What happened? You left it. You know what you say when we pass away. From Allah we came and Allah we return. Where are you going to return to, brothers and sisters? Did anybody ever come back here and tell us where we're going to return to? But it's simple. If you get that physical out your head and you will understand that you left your nature. You have a right to leave your nature. But when you pass, that's over with. You must return back to your deen, that is a fitra. Where is that going to be? Brothers and sisters, if we would get all these fairy tales out of our head, Imam Wallaceen Muhammad taught me for years, and about 5 or 7 years before he passed, he said, you know what, Murad? I chose you. He chose me. I didn't choose him. To be my personal Imam. Yes, that's what he said. Yusuf Shaw was on my left, and he was on my right. I had to go. And Yusuf Shaw said, you going to leave and not let your imam hear you speak? I sat right back down. May Allah be pleased with him and grant him paradise. So when I sat down speaking, I got tapped on my shoulder. Right away, I leaned towards the imam. And Wallaceen Muhammad said, Murad, I want you to be my personal imam, and I'm going to teach you personally. I froze like a deer. I'm not going to be no imam. He's going to have to do a lot of teaching to teach me how to do that. And I don't push up on anyone. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I sat up under him 27 Sundays in a row doing theology of time. And I took that post because no one could protect my leader greater than me. That's how I was back then as a young man. My wife will tell you, you thought I lived in Chicago. But the point was, I don't seek the post. So I never went to him. He came to me. He came to me. He came to me. But before he passed, he said, you know how to read that Bible. You know how to put everything in proper perspective of all the prophets, at least the seven. He said, now I want you to get it all out your head. He said, get it out your head and go back reading that Allah is talking directly to you. You Moses, you Jesus, you Abraham, you Muhammad, the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My God. I said, whoa. Here, I'm all over the world, as Salima said. 200 foreign countries and every newspaper in this country and outside the country. Because why? I went to TV. Now I'm up there with this great name, handling billions of dollars, making billions of dollars, creating a vehicle for Phil Knight. I didn't know Michael Jordan. I walked into Phil Knight. Well, he's God. Phil, you need me. What are you doing, Murad? You're a great boxer, Pomo. You know how much money I made last year? Yeah, $4.5 billion. $4.5 billion, brothers and sisters. I said, if you come complacent, Phil, don't call me. But if you want to move that bottom line, give me a call. He called me. This is in the movie. It's in the book. He called me. I came back. Red, Phil, you need me, huh? This is the owner, the creator of Nike, the multi-billionaire. I would like to say he's a trillionaire. I said, what can I do for you? He said, I want you to meet this gentleman here. I said, who are you? He said, I'm Michael Jordan. I said, Michael Jordan, all the children want to be like Mike. I don't follow basketball. I know your name, but I now met you. I know your likeness. I want to launch a brand called Jordan Brand. You mean it's going to be Nike Jordan Brand? Yes. Can you help me? Yes, I can help you. How much I have to pay? You can't pay me, partner. And it was a dream come true because I had Budweiser in the middle of my ring. You don't move Budweiser. That's the king of beers. They've been there for over 100 years. Now I'm coming in and I'm going to take over the Jews and move their companies off of the ring. Now I was glad to be on TV. But I put the jump man, they call it the jump man, Michael Jordan's logo on the center of that ring and took Budweiser over and I went into the homes of all our children. That was my prayers to Allah. What made TV important? Because there's 160 million people watch TV. And if you reach them, you become a celebrity overnight. You become an icon overnight. So I couldn't do what Ali did. Murad, what about the left hook, the right hand, the uppercut? It says live from Las Vegas, Murad Muhammad. Live from Madison Square Garden, Murad Muhammad. Live from New Jersey. Live from Texas. Live from Alabama, Mississippi. Live, Murad Muhammad. Yes, Muhammad was rough to carry. My brothers and sisters, I had a loved one said, may if you drop Muhammad, you'll make more money. It wasn't the money. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, a good name is better than gold. I'm talking. I'll be on for a few minutes. Go to your phone. Put in Murad Muhammad. You got Yahoo, Google, Facebook, call Sirius. Give me Murad Muhammad. Go to Wikipedia. My granddaughter who went to college, she's in college now. She said, Papa, I didn't know you was a billionaire. I said, what are you talking about, dear? You in the Wikipedia because they teach that in the school. I said, yes, I am. She said, I saw you, Papa. Grandma, you never told me how famous Papa is. But there's a lonely world out there. How many of you all handle beers? I didn't want to be out there by myself. So the man told me, he said, go to the world. Leave us. Go to humanity. Then come back. That's just what I did. I came back trying to give it to you all. So when I hear someone that's a soldier, I like what he says. We soldier for Allah. I tell these brothers, I never wanted to be an imam. So I have to give it to Imam Ramadan. He came to me 3 times. I said, no, I'm not an imam. He said, brother, and on the 3rd one, he sent the message by the twin, Elio, and said, he said, if you got anything to tell his family, you need to come and do Juma. I came to do Juma. He and I are very close today because I've been doing Juma in his masjid for years. Because he's a capital M-A-N. Because he loves this community. Brothers and sisters, if we got to get the bases, if we got to get there right away from the East Coast, I ain't going to try to fly that plane. That's selfish of me. But a person that loves himself don't want to die neither, so he's intelligently, he is not going to tell you he's going to fly us to Las Vegas. But isn't that amazing? If a brother don't think he's going to lose his life, but he can come or stay successful for his self-gratification, he's going to lie to you because he's not going to die. But he doesn't understand the angel that sits on that right shoulder is right with everything you do. You know the saying, what you do wrong in the dark will come to the light? Well, you better pray it comes to the light while you live because you can repent. You can beg for forgiveness. But if you die with that lie, you die with them tricks and them cons and all for your self-gratification, and once you leave here, once that spirit leaves that dead earth, you will be judged because you didn't beg for forgiveness. Some of you will be in the hellfire, but you will not go right on into heaven. Be retaught again. These are the things, the simple things we should understand. And I'm saying this to say to all of you, a man like, give me 10 of them. Don't give me 20 or 30. That's all you need. Allah said he only raised a few up. But we all had the same goal in mind to understand what is religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you in the Holy Quran, Islam is al-Islam, not Islam now, because Islam we have the first experience, is al-Islam. You will never see the word Islam in the Quran, it's al-Islam. But our Arabs couldn't roll their tongue to say the religion. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you Jews and Christians and Sabians, y'all do not have to accept La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. But if you want to accept La ilaha illallah, I accept you. There will be no burden on you. But it gives you one more thing to believe in the hereafter. So unintelligently, you have scholars, you have sheikhs, you got ulimans, you got men that says to the next human being, you're not a Muslim. Oh, dude, it bothers me. And Malik says something very profound. Not me saying it, but Allah said we'll mirror one another. Isn't that something? want for your brother that which you want for yourself. And when you read the Quran, Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifies his name, says to Muhammad, tell them, we are a mirror of one another. Because when you look in the mirror, it doesn't change. You can line them up, face them together, you're going to see the same thing. So I hear myself. I hear myself in this man who's trying to save his family. Save yourself and your family from the fire. But it's not just our immediate family. It is the ummah. It's your family. And when you realize the ummah is your family, then you will cut this out by saying who's a Muslim, who isn't a Muslim. Everything in creation is a Muslim. The stars, the moon, the sun, the star, the animals, the pigs. Yes, the Ku Klux Klan is a Muslim. Donald Trump is a Muslim, the President of the United States. But he has got out of his nature. All those people have got out of their nature away from them. So they Muslim. Because the nature submits to no one but the will of Allah. Now, are they in our religion? No. Do they know our religion? No. But Allah don't judge the religion. Allah judges what he created you to be, the Khalifa of the world. Now, everybody's not going to be able to come to our religion, but our religion only came 1,400 years ago. So what was we operating? Okay, Christianity. Hey, we used to say 550 years ago. Okay, what about Judaism? We used to say 6,000 years ago. So who was Adam? What religion was Adam? What religion was Moses? What religion was Jesus? This myth that Jesus created Christianity is the big myth. No religion called Christianity when Jesus was doing the work of Allah. However, man needed religion. He permitted Judaism. He permitted Christianity that was created by the Jews because there was no Christian intelligent enough to create a religion. The Jews was a chosen people. Allah didn't punish them because of their knowledge. Allah shut them down because they did not propagate it. They kept it for themselves. So Jesus had to come to cut down the fig tree. See that physical? Fig tree. Why not an apple tree? Why not a pear tree? But that fig got a lot of seeds, and they can't multiply anymore. And because they cannot multiply anymore, the good Jew that follows Abraham created Christianity. But here comes that Zionist Jew that decides to make it physical. That's physical. Cross. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Holy water. An image that looked like death. These things happen. So Allah said, okay, man, you want religion? I'm going to create al-Islam, and I'm going to perfect it to be perfect. But he didn't say you had to accept it. I prefer that you accept al-Islam. Dolly, I don't think you should buy that color car, Dolly. And this is your wife speaking. I prefer the gray one. But I want the black one. Is she going to be angry with you because you took the black one? You're still her husband. Well, that's how Allah is. He prefers that you accept Islam because you will come back to your deen al-Fitr quick. So you say, what about my mama? She didn't accept Islam. She was a Muslim in her nature. She did her job. So Allah ain't going to judge her, whether she accepted Islam or Christianity or Judaism, be a good one, because nothing's wrong with this. In jail, the Old Testament, nothing's wrong with it. Something's wrong with your understanding of it. That's what Imam Worthy Muhammad taught me. May Allah be pleased and grant me paradise. Let's look at it. What makes Jesus so popular? Because Satan made Mary a physical virgin Mary. Satan made Jesus Christ that was crucified on the cross physically. But when you read the Quran, they say they killed Jesus not. But Jesus said the things that need to be said if, and I got to say this because I love doing it because I go into churches and they love me in the church. Them rabbis and reverends and all them, they have a great love for me because they understand that they go to school to learn what we learn in reading the Quran and using our five senses. So Jesus said, I saw a woman by the river. This is in, and she had five husbands. So I tell my sisters, don't misconstrue. Listen, hear me out. I'm going out here and get you five husbands. He said, but soon as she took on that sixth husband, she was out of her mind. What husband was Jesus talking about? He was talking about your five senses. Love your senses, all you women out there. Love your five senses like your husband. Make love to it. Respect it. Down your heart, you have to know that's your husband. But when you take on a sixth sense, you're out your mind. But Muhammad the Prophet came here and he said it different, same, but more clearer. He says, bathe yourself in the river five times and you'll become pure. So our brothers in Christianity took it physically and they will baptize you in that river. You can be baptized for 100 times. You can be filthy as hell. Plain physical. So what did the Prophet meant, peace be upon him? What the Prophet Muhammad meant? He meant that bathe yourself, your five senses, in the river like a river flow consistently, repetitiously, meaning use your five senses every second of a minute. You see the difference? From the physical and the matter Allah is trying to teach us. So Jesus said, I'm going to leave you all, but I shall return. But I'm going to leave you with a gift. What is that gift? What is that gift, Jesus, you're going to leave them? My mother. He said, my mother. Just keep in mind, my mother. So everyone thought it meant Virgin Mary, who had more children. No, brothers and sisters, every mother on the planet was his mother. That's the way we're supposed to treat her. And one day, he'll return. Physically, nobody physically came back here in the flesh. It means one will be in his nature just like Jesus. And those people will come to you. Just like Jesus, speaking what Jesus said. But what is Jesus saying? What did Moses say? What is all of them they saying what God taught them? So here come Muhammad the Prophet. Prayers be upon him, here he come. And Allah said, tell him you're going to leave him two gifts. What is the two gifts? The Holy Quran and his Sunnah. Now, today, we all wrapped up in hadiths. I see this all on the air. We in the air trying to take people back to paganism. You saying the Quran ain't sufficient? The reason why I was able to do things out there because I read the book of the man that built something for all men and women around the world, Walt Disney. He ain't the Hadith, but he's a human being that was successful in making the people in the world love him. Today, I wanted to be like Walt Disney. But I wouldn't have known Walt Disney if I didn't read the Holy Quran. So you want to send me to the Hadith to learn about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You want to tell me what the Hadith says, but not, and he didn't say two books. He said, read the Quran and the Sunnah. So they say today, how are we going to know the Sunnah if we don't read the Hadith? Hell, how are you going to get a PhD if you don't go to school and man don't give it to you? But how are you going to use your five senses if you don't read the Quran? Allah has to teach me first. So Muhammad the Prophet, praise be upon him, says what? I'm a mercy to all humanity. Well, how tall is he? We don't know. How short was he? We don't know. Was he educated? Hell no. Did he know anything about this world? Nope. Did he know anything about God? Nope. Who is he? A mercy to humanity. Well, what nationality is he? Yes, he came from an Arab seed. Yes, he was a womb of an Arab race, but he knew neither one of them. What was he acting in his nature? What's the difference from him and us? We got out of our fitra. He never got out of his nature. So Allah was raising him. But if he was an Italian, would you like him? I don't think I would. I'm an African-American. Well, if you thought he was I would feel a little. The Jews, the Christians wouldn't like it. He's a mercy to all humanity. So what makes him perfect, Mara? Because there's no perfect individual. All of us sin. For Allah says in the Holy Quran, that will not sin, he will erase you from this earth and replace it with one sin. Why are we replaced with ones that will sin? Because only time you come to God, when you're down and out, when you look like you can't make it, when you're sick, when you're dying, you come to God. So he allows us to sin, but our father Adam didn't curse the world. He showed us the first thing he did when he realized he did something wrong, he repented. That's all I ask you to do. Beg him. You don't need no third party. Beg Allah for forgiveness because he comes to you in your jugular vein. Beg Allah and he will erase it from your record. It will not go into the hereafter, but you got to beg Allah. It's never too late if you're still alive. So Muhammad the Prophet is known as the perfect example. But what makes him perfect, brothers and sisters, is the Quran a lie that he's perfect, but all of us sin? He doesn't sin? What makes him perfect? Because for 40 years, he lived a lifetime acting in his nature. Yes, he sins. He made mistakes. Yes, he did this, he did that, but it doesn't matter. He's perfect. Because for 23 years, he recited the Holy Quran. So when you recite the Quran, you're perfect. And that's what he gave to all humanity. So yes, brother, you're doing Jummah. You speak in the Quran, you're perfect. You love your wife from the Quran, you're perfect. You try not to do things to people that you don't want done to you, that's the Quran. When you're doing business, they don't know, you're quoting the Quran. put you loose with the stuff you use. But once you step away and do your thing, you're on your own. And if it's right, and it's going to be right because trial and error and first come difficulties, and Allah gives you ease because you got to work for it. He said, you take a step, not him. You take a step, and then he will take two. So meaning he will help you. He will help you if you do right. It's hard to do right. It's hard for me to tell you what's right and wrong, because if I tell you what's wrong, you'll love it. I'll tell you what's right, it's difficult. So I had to come on because this is the first time I'm hearing a man that didn't have any, as he told you, he studied under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that cleaned him up. He was doing wudu. He had to clean up. We couldn't just come to Al-Islam dirty. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad cleaned us up. Amen. Walter Stephen Muhammad, when he came in the office, put his fingers to his head and said, the divine mind. We have a divine mind. And surely it wasn't divine before we met one amongst us. You didn't think Allah was going to put one amongst us? And that's the factor here. We don't understand that we caught more hell than any group of human beings on the face of the earth. 400 years of slavery, 400 years they raped our mothers, 400 years they took our language, 400 years they took our culture, 400 years, brothers and sisters, they took our God away from us. And matter of fact, made us three-fifths of a human being. But Allah says, I'm going to answer the prayers of their ancestors. Oh, Allah, suffer the bounds of suffering, but take care of my offsprings. And today, we are saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, like our fathers and mothers did when they was kidnapped. But brothers, sisters, when they came over from England, they called it New England. When they came from York, they called it New York. You saying we are not new? Yes, we're from Africa, here in America. We're not Africans. We are new. Allah made us new. So our brothers, all that knowledge, all that reading, having the Quran way before us, they was blessed with oil. They were so unintelligent, they thought it was dirty water. But they blessed with oil. We are blessed with the spirit of the Holy Quran. We don't smoke. We don't drink. We don't fornicate. We don't commit adultery. We get married. And we take care of our wives. Why? Because that's what the Quran says. So we are special because Allah chose us for the hell we paid the price to be special. But yet, the Allah Muhammad said, unlike subtract and alike repel, so we change. Whoa, look the way they dress. You can't be Muslim if you ain't growing your top. I got to tell you this, brother, and I got to tell you that. Brothers and sisters, I can go on and on and on. I want to thank my sister, Shalima Myers. I want to thank the brother for saying the things he has said. And if I say anything to hurt you, I say it from the bottom of my heart. That is not my intention, and surely I ask you to forgive me. If I say anything incorrect, I'm human. I make mistakes upon the law, as we say. Allah is the best knower. But if I say anything to help, allow you to stand up in your spirit, up in your soul, stand up in your deen, or a fitra in the nature in which you was created, stand up in your taqwa, your belief in God. Stand up in your love for God. Don't give me that credit. Give that credit to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah glorifies his name. But I greet you from our biological father, Adam. Don't forget him. I greet you from our father of the intellectual mind of all nationalities, Abraham. And I greet you from our brother, Jesus Christ. Christ means Muslim. He submitted to the will of Allah. And I greet you from Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, with the greatest greatest you can give to an individual, we say, may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon him. But keep in mind, when you greet him, you greet them all. My name is Maraj Muhammad, and I shall return, inshallah, on Monday from 7 to 9. May Allah be with you, and Brother Muhammad, you can call me at any time. I need 10 more like you. And watch what we do, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto all of you. Thank you for listening.